Church family, my name is Caleb.
And I'm Ava.
And we're so glad you chose to be with us here at church today. Ava, what do we have coming up?
At Only Believe, we know that prayer has the power to transform lives. And that is why we start each month with First Saturday Prayer. This one-hour gathering is a time for us to come together, seek God, pray both corporately and personally, worship together, and hear an encouraging word. And it also gives us the opportunity to head down to the altar and pick up prayer cards and pray over the needs of others in our church family. So set your reminders and come expecting the Lord to do powerful things in our lives. We cannot wait to pray with you.
Hey, church family, Pastor Tim here. I'm excited to announce Serve Day 2026. Now, right now, what we're doing is we're letting you know about all the projects that we want to do this year. And what we need from you is to go take a look at all the projects and then sign up for the one that you would like to help serve in. Now, we have a lot of projects, and there's two ways that you can find out about them. The first is by utilizing the QR code on the screen right now. If you go to that QR code, it'll take you to a page that'll list all of the different projects, or you can visit our Serve Day displays in the main lobby or in the hallway heading towards Children's Church. You'll see flyers with information about each individual project that includes a QR code to a short video giving you a little bit of an explanation about that individual project, as well as a QR code to sign up for that project. So make sure you take your time to go look at them. Each project depends on you. If we don't get volunteers, we can't do the project. So please go take a look and pick the ones that resonate the most with your heart. Everyone can make a difference. Let's make a difference together.
Ladies, set aside your Saturday morning and join us for Gather on May 2nd at 9:30 a.m. in the lobby. This women's only event brings women of all ages together for a sweet time of conversation, food, and an encouraging word from Pastor Nicole. Let us know that you're coming by scanning the QR code on the bottom of the screen or by heading out to the Welcome Center in the lobby and getting signed up there. And please remember, there will not be childcare for this event. We cannot wait to gather with you.
I want to share with you about a good news spotlight, church. We were recently in a crusade in the nation of Togo, and it was one of the most amazing miracles I ever heard. We had some great things taking place. We had so many amazing miracles. We saw blind eyes coming open, tumors disappearing in people's bodies, deaf ears coming unstopped. This was night three of the crusade. And in that crusade, a man came to the crusade that night. His mother-in-law had been very sick. She was in the hospital. They weren't sure she was going to live. Well, as he was coming to the crusade that night, he got a call from his wife that his mother-in-law had passed away. He was going to turn around, go to the hospital, be with his family, try to comfort his family, try to comfort his wife. And his wife said, you know what? No, you said you want to go to the crusade tonight for something specific, and you're going to use your faith for something. So I want you to go. When the crusade's over, come back home. Well, that night, as we were receiving testimony after testimony of miracles taking place, he said, God, I've seen you do so many amazing things. I believe you can do anything. I want you to raise my mother-in-law from the dead. He prayed that prayer. 10 minutes later, he got a call from his wife. His mother-in-law had come back to life. The doctors were amazed. I say that because this, you know what? God can do anything. And whatever you're going through, it's the devil's put it on you. But guess what? God is going to take it off. I believe your miracle is coming for you. And just get ready for it. It's on its way.
A simple invite card could change someone's life. Here at Only Believe, we put out invite cards on the pews and out in the lobby, and they make a really easy way for you to invite someone who God leads you to come to church. So be praying about who God would lead you to invite to our next service.
And as always, for more information on anything and everything we have going on here at Only Believe, you can head right on out to the Welcome Center in the lobby and get all your questions answered. Now, let's lean in and prepare our hearts and our minds as we dive into God's Word today.
Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Welcome, Only Believe Church. How are you today? Alive and well. We are a church where faith is alive and well to believe in the impossible. Did you hear that? Not the possible, not what man says they can fix. But when man comes to the table and says, we're sorry, there's nothing else we can do. Praise the Lord. Now God can jump in and save the day. Amen. It excites my heart. I want to share with you a little testimony that was given from one of the mornings we had prayer. There was joint pain called forward, that God was here to handle and deal with joint pain that morning. I believe that came from one of our prayer team members that came and just said, Pastor Nicole, this is on my heart. Do with it what you will. If you and Pastor Randy believe this is what God's doing, then call it forth. And we did. And when we did, this lady came forward. She got prayer for her joints, and immediately the pain left her body. She's never more had pain again. But God wasn't finished, because what that did was give her the faith to then pursue ahead further. I better read her exact words instead of making up what it said. It said, I came down for prayer, and when the joint pain was called out, and since that moment, I have not had pain. One of the pastors prayed over my eyes, and I have been told I am going into early stages of glaucoma. But on my way home, my vision became crisper, and it's only has ever been since. I am healed. Amen? That's awesome. You know it's good when the doctor looks at you and says, that's the beginning signs of glaucoma. Well, that means God can get involved. Amen? Sometimes we need to know what the mountain is before we can speak to the mountain so that it can be moved. Hallelujah. There's nothing wrong with the report. It's wrong when we believe that report above and beyond what the written word of God tells us. Amen? Be encouraged. If some of you haven't received the report that you want to hear, that's all right. God's already wrote your report. And your report is here. And if you'll read it, that's the report that we believe, not the enemy's. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, before we get started, I want to pray. I've already started out this morning. I'm going to share with you a little bit later on the day how the Lord has already brought me to a little bit of correction. But I figure we better definitely start out in a place of surrender if I've already been walking on eggshells. Amen. Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. And God, we submit ourselves and our minds and our hearts to you. Father, help us today, Father, to learn to live like you, God. To not just live in word, but to live in deed in Jesus' name. God, break off boundaries and parameters in our mind that have been wrong ways of thinking. And rekindle, Father, the fire within us that needs to draw us closer to you, God. That we would be a generation that seeks after you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right. So this morning I'm going to start teaching another 7 I am statement. There are 7. We're on number 6. And next week we're going to finish up. But I want to remind you that the I am statement, Pastor Randy brought out the first week, I am this. I am the God that does this. It's not I was. It's not I'm trying to be. It's not that I will become. It's I am. It's active right now in you and I's lives. Not just for our yesterdays, but for our today and for our tomorrow. It's Jesus declaring what he is with authority. It's not him just saying, hey, you know, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And today we're going to learn that I am the true vine, or I am the vine. Now remember, when he declares I am, he's saying that I am self-existence. I am life. I gave life. I am the source of all life. And without me, nothing else is. I don't need anyone to self-exist. I am. He is that in our life. He's the eternal one. And when you and I truly believe these I am statements, we begin to understand the true character and identity of the God that we serve. Because the Son, Jesus, looks like his Father. Just like you'll look at our kids and you'll go, oh, that's Randy Jr. Or you'll look at them and you'll say, that's Nicole. Why? They're ours. They're ours. Jesus is God's only son. So he looks like him. And if we are God's children, then we too are to look like God. But he didn't just tell us the way we were to look. He sent Jesus to identify with us as a human, to put on human flesh and come and walk amongst us to say, this is who you should look like. And if you don't, then that's you and I. We have to examine who we are and examine ourselves and say, I need to look more like Christ. How do we do that? So we're going to start with the I am statement declared in John 15:1-8. That's where we're going to start today. A lot of the I ams, most of them that we're reading, are all in John together. That's where he tells it. Randy told us why John wrote the way he did in this gospel, which is beautiful. There's a lot in this scripture, but we're going to do our best to tear it apart. Okay? It says, I am the vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because the word that I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like the branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are then picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. All right, so like I said, there's a lot to this, but the first things that we need to remember is it's a metaphor. He's giving you a picture of what he wants you to imagine. And back then in Jewish days, and where he was, vines, there's grapes, lots of vineyards and grapes to be done. There's olive trees. All these are a part of the culture. So Jesus is using things that are in his day to paint a picture to the disciples as he's speaking these words. By the way, these are red letters. These are Jesus himself speaking. We know that Jesus is the vine, right? He said, now in my version here, it says, I am the true vine. Some don't say that. Some say he's the vine. But I like this version because it links last week's, not Easter, the week before. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. I am the true vine. And God, remember this, not only is he the true vine, but he's the source of the very life of the vine. You get that? The life. Remember, he was the way, the truth, and the life. He's the source of life, not a way of life, the source of life. God is the gardener, the Father, Jesus' Father. God sent his only Son, Jesus, to die for you and I on the cross. So we know that God is the gardener. Now, he is the one that the scripture refers to. He's the one responsible for cutting away the branches that bear no fruit. Someone say, no fruit. No fruit. Keep that in your mind. Now let's be careful not to point to God as a hasty God or not thoughtful to vine dress. The vine dresser isn't, let me just show you. I had Randy bring these. This was an afterthought, but I wanted to bring these. I tried to bring the ones with those real big snippers like Edward Scissorhands. Some of us picture God like this in our life. God's not aggressive in trimming and cutting off those vines that don't bring fruit. And I'm going to show you that. Let's go to Luke. In Luke, the 13th chapter, the 6th verse, or the 6th through 9th verse, let's go there because I want to read it to you. It's very important that you understand the attribute and the nature of who God is, because I think some people believe that this is how God works, that he's just waiting for you to make a mistake so he can cut you off. But he's not. There is a requirement for you and I that we bear fruit. But you're going to find out later that bearing that fruit is not just your own responsibility. The Holy Spirit is the one who creates the fruit. All you have to do is stay in the right position for the fruit to grow. So don't take it so harsh that that's how he is. 6th chapter, and I'm reading out of the NLT because I felt it said clearer. Then Jesus told this story. A man planted a fig tree in his garden and came again and again to see if there were any fruit on it. But he was always disappointed. Finally, he said to the gardener, did you see that? The man planted the fig tree, but then he said to his gardener, I've waited 3 years and there hasn't been a single fig. Cut it down. It's just taking up space in the garden. And the gardener answered, Sir, could we just give it one more chance? Leave it another year, and I'll give it special attention and plenty of fertilizer. And if we get figs next year, fine. And if not, then you can cut it down. You already had 3 years. The gardener asks for another year. So I'm here to let you know that even if you guys are 4 years deep in the same sin, you still got hope. Don't think that God's quick to cut you off. That's not what it is. He's talking about no fruit. He's talking about people that say, I'm a follower of Jesus, but really, they're not. They're not doing anything to please God. All they want is they want to know that they get the benefits of who God is without requiring anything from them. Remember, church, salvation is free, but it will cost you everything. It will cost you your identity. It will cost you your pride. It will cost you your way of thinking that your way is right. Because the way that seems right unto me is not the way that seems right unto God. So it requires that I lay down my own preference and I accept what he's asked. Amen? Okay. So this is what's important. As a gardener, he prunes off the things. Did you hear what it said? As a gardener, he also prunes those who bear fruit. Why? Because if I'm not bearing fruit, something is not working. He doesn't cut anything off of us to harm us, to hurt us, to bring shame to us, to expose you. He does it so that those who bear fruit, or little fruit, he cuts those things off so that we can bear more fruit. It's not that the fruit you have maybe not be good. It's that what you have could be better. What's going to cause us to be more fruitful? Some of us get frustrated with this because I'm going to be honest with you, pruning does not feel good. It doesn't feel good. It really does not. But in order for us to be more fruitful, growth has to happen through pruning. Did you hear that? Growth comes from pruning. Pruning of what? Well, let's talk about that. How about pruning a relationship that's drawing you into fornication? But Pastor Nicole, I just love this person. I don't care. If it draws you into fornication, it might not be the time that you're to bear that type of fruit of a relationship. That's an unfruitful relationship in your life that's bearing the wrong type of fruit. How about this one? How about a relationship or a friendship that allows you to still be nasty? That allows you to share your innermost feelings when they're really about everyone else? All in the name of prayer. How about a relationship that allows you to sit in shame and condemnation and that friend to not look at you and say, get up. Get up out of that muck and that mire. That's not who God's called you to be. See, those are things that need to be trimmed off of our life. What about a job that has become your source, that the only thing you can think about is how many more hours you can get so you can make things work? Let me tell you something. The more dependent you become upon a job, the more that job is going to stand between you and God. And one day, he's going to go, you know what? This was meant to be good for you, but this fruit is so big that it's going to break the branch it hangs on. God won't allow you to bear fruit that is too heavy that your branch is not strong enough to hold. Did you hear that? I'm going to be real with you. There's a lot of people in this world today that are leading God's people, whether it be evangelistic, whether it be prophetically, whether it be a pastor in the house of God, that you know what? Their charisma, their their personality has built this large following of fruit. But I'm telling you that the fruit is breaking the vines because infidelity is being done behind the scenes. Because smoking and drinking and partying is being done on the backside of people that believe they're following men and women of God. You want to know why? Because their character is not large enough to hold the fruit that their personality has brought. Let me tell you something. I don't want a church any larger than a growth that we can sustain healthy. And if we can't do it and shepherd God's people the way he wants them to be shepherded, then don't let it grow and leave it right here at this space. Because one day we're going to give an account for every soul that's in this church. The way we thought, the way we walked, the way we talked about them, the way we produced them, the way we discipled them. And I'm going to tell you, whether you want to hear it or not, each and every one of you have a group of people that you are to be discipling. And you got the same responsibility that we have, just in a smaller select group. That's all. Amen. Those of you that run home groups, I'm looking at Jamie and Jesse. You got college kids that come to their house every second Sunday of the month. You know what? Those are kids that they're discipling and bringing under their wings. Why? Because God's entrusted them with much. With much. One day they're going to give an account for that. Each and every one of you, I look at Tammy, I look at Cassie, I look at small group leaders around here, I look at wherever you volunteer in this church. You've been given little, but God's requiring much of you. He doesn't want you to just build a big fruit. He wants you to build the character and the integrity that holds that fruit. And sometimes that pruning happens because what we have grown on our own is not healthy. And God knows it. And all it's done is build our pride bigger. All of it's done is make our self-control get smaller and smaller, and our need to control more and to be more important and to be this and to be that has come. And he's like, you know what? I got to take it off. Because if I don't, they're going to break. And they don't even realize it. And you're like, I don't understand why all that was taken away from me. I was doing so good. And everyone said I was doing a good job. It's not what everyone else thinks. It's what God thinks. What are you truly doing with what God gave you? Is the motive behind your heart what's right? Or are you just doing it so that your fruit can look bigger? So that people walk by you and go, man, them are some big grapes. I don't want people to look at my fruit and say that. I want God to look at me and say, I'm pleased in that right there. Them grapes might be many, and there might not be that many, but you know what? They're the sweetest grapes I've ever tasted. And that's what I can use to make true wine. We're not making grapes to make wine, people, but I'm saying in their day. We have to remember that if the fruit we're yielding is going to break us, it's going to come off. And I'm going to be honest with you. Some of you have gone through a hard season of pruning. I look at the bushes at our house. Randy was out digging leaves out yesterday. He said, this is the stupidest job. I hate this job. He even tried to get the neighbor kid to come over, and he'd pay him to do it. But the neighbor kid didn't want to work without Randy. He said, I'll come and help you, Randy. And he said, no, I want to pay you to do it. He never came over. He just wanted to do it with Randy. And Randy's like, I don't want to do it on my knees. I want out of here. But I looked at some of those bushes, and I'm like, Randy, this bush is half dead. He's like, no, it's spring. Let it go. It's been cut back. Them bushes look bald. They look bad in the natural. And what I'm saying is there's some of our lives that we've gone through a season of pruning. And I'm going to be honest with you. It looks bad. And you wonder, is there ever going to be life that comes back to this bush? Are you sure, God, that it can live again? But God is saying that if you will just let me have my way with what that bush looks like and how far to take it, and you think there's no hope of it coming out, God says that's when true growth comes, is in the pruning process. And I'm going to be real with you. Some of us don't want any pruning to happen. But I want you to look on the other side of the prune. How many of you have done that? I mean, we have hydrangea bushes. They're so big that these big blooms drop to the ground in the summertime. And I'm like, oh my gosh, Randy, this whole tree is just going to split right down the middle. Never does. But at the end of the season, Randy goes out there, nee, cuts it. It's only this tall. I'm like, how in the world did it grow back so big? And it's not bigger. It's bigger and better. I mean, it's huge this year. And I'm like, maybe we shouldn't trim it. We should just leave it alone. Like, it's taking over the entire yard. What is that? That's looking ahead to see this growth. I'm looking beyond the pruning because I know that it comes back bigger and better every year. What if the growth that God wants to do from that relationship that is drawing you into infidelity, what if that relationship that's causing you to fornicate and have that one night stand, God wants something different. He wants a marriage. He wants a marriage filled with love, the fruit of the Spirit, true love, not birthed out of lust that holds a one-night stand, but he wants to give you something far greater than that and give you a marriage that brings glory to him. That everything that's done in that marriage is beautiful. You're allowed to be, in case no one's told you this, you're allowed to be lustful in your marriage. Enjoy yourself. Lust after your wife. Covet her. Covet that husband. Just don't covet anyone else's. It's better than a one-night stand. I have a family member. He's drank for a really long time in his life. And one time, we had a conversation, and he said, you know, Nikki, I've been with a lot of women in my life. And I said, you have? I'm working really hard not to say a name. And he said, I have. He said, but you know what? One night with a woman that I married and took a covenant vow with was better than all those women I'd had a one-night stand with. He said, I would wake up in the morning because I went to bed drunk, and I'd rather chew my arm off than to wake that woman up before I left. He said, but one night in the covenant, in the marriage of God, I was fulfilled. I was fulfilled. I was full. My appetite satisfied because it was done right. Amen. I'm here to tell you that that growth from that pruning, that relationship that you want to keep, God's wanting to prune off of you, that friendship that you think is so healthy, which keeps leading you into gossip, which keeps allowing you to be the devil that you want to be, which allows you to live in sin and condemnation, and that friend wants better for you than they want for themselves. They love that you're in the mire, because when you're in the muck and the mire, they're on top. They're like, yeah, you're a loser. No, you don't need that friend. And God wants to cut them off. Why? Because he wants to give you a godly friend. He wants to give you a relationship, a friendship that's patient one with another, that builds the fruit of patience, that says, you know what? I love you. And I don't like what you're doing, but I'm going to walk with you through this season. And I'm going to be the support that you need me to be. And honestly, I'm going to tell you the truth when you need to hear it. Because you can't live like that and expect God to be present in your life. How about a job? A job that provides for you, but one that you understand that you're not in control of. And one that you've submitted your life and your actions to God. And you're meek. You're meek and you're gentle in that space, but because you're in that position now and the fruits of the Spirit are working through you, it's not how much money you make, but it's the influence that you have in people's lives. Like, see, God was after more than just your provision. He was after a growing of something that was bigger and better than you could ever imagine. And now you're leading people to Christ at your workplace. You're now the pastor of your line, because when a problem comes up, they're coming to you for prayer. When there's a struggle in the midst of the business and the problem can't be fixed, that they're like, you know what? We need you to pray because you got some inroad with the guy upstairs and we need some help. Yeah. How about that? That's what God's wanting to do through us, if we'll allow him to do some pruning along the way. Spiritual growth is important, but it's important that you and I understand that we have to trust the gardener. If all we see him as is an aggressive gardener looking to chop us down every chance we get, and not the gentle gardener. You know, I think Andrew brought this out earlier. I want to use this. I think of the vine. There wasn't a vine large enough to actually show you the cutting of the branches. But you know, this vine, will go where it wants to go without help. I think of the church garden when we did that. I'm telling you what, we could go out on Tuesday and Thursday every single week, and those cucumbers would outgrow us. Man, I'm telling you, like, we had this little fence to put them in, and you would just tuck this into the little fence so that it would go up, so that then the cucumbers would hang down and we wouldn't have them falling in the mud. No one wants muddy fruit. But if the vine don't climb up, it's going to lay on the ground and be muddy. We would go out there and we would try to put it in, but in 2 days, the growth would be so big that if we tried to put it through, it would break the vine because it had gotten so hardy and so out of control. These things grow like crazy. Our lives are like that. We are growing spiritually one way or the other. Either you're growing towards the ground or you're growing up. Every single day, you're growing in a direction. But if you are not connected to the vine and you're growing, then I'm telling you what's happening is that you're growing wildly and you're growing on your own, and God's unable to direct you through so that your fruit is not laying in the mud and getting dirty. But you have to submit yourself to the hand of God to move you. And a lot of us think that we already know what way we're supposed to go. We know how we're supposed to grow, and he's just supposed to sit back and watch. And if we're wrong, let me know. That's not what a gardener does. A gardener's tending to us daily. A gardener's tending to us sometimes twice a day, in the morning and in the evening. Why? Because there's different cycles and seasons of growth. Let's go to Hebrews, the 12th chapter today. And this is going to talk about pruning. And then I'm going to get off the pruning part because I don't want to hurt you too bad today. But I want you to understand that it's very important that we allow him room in our life. Here's what it says. Now, this, if you want to, go back and read this entire first chapter, or from 12:1 down. It's beautiful about God disciplining his children, but I'm only going to give you three verses. Moreover, this is the ninth verse. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. That was our earthly fathers. But God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Guys, he's using every trial that we go through in our life, every season for your good. And he's carefully tending, carefully. He doesn't have big butcher strips that he's using on your life. He's using tender cuttings that he can cut off your life, just like this. It's simple. It's easy. It's actually, oh, this one might hurt a little, but you're going to be all right. Think of your earthly father. We're told not to discipline out of anger. We don't rip our, you get up here, and whip the snot out of our kids. First thing we do is count to 10, so you're not angry. And you grab them and you say, look, let's talk about what you did was wrong. Why is it wrong? You know, Lacey, she threw something the other day at her dad. She didn't get her way, she threw it. Jill saw it. Quentin said, no, Lacey, like that. And then Jill, mama, stepped up. She said, let me tell you something. You say sorry to your father. She made him say sorry. Quentin said, give me that. Took the toy from her or whatever it was, I don't remember, and put it away. Oh, then she really got on fire because now what she wanted is not there. And Jill said, no, Lacey, that's not the way we act. You're not allowed to act like that. Sorry, you throw it, it gets taken away. You be nice. Be gentle. What was that? It wasn't, I'll tell you what, kid, you better quit throwing stuff. You're going to turn into your father. I'm not having it. No, it was gentle. It was kind, but it was direct. There was no giving in to the situation. Now later, She went to the door. She wanted to go outside. It was 40 degrees out. Randy said no, and 30 seconds later, he was walking around the yard. I said, Pop Pops, I think she won. And he's like, oh. And he brought her back in after he told her it was too cold. I think our kids will be glad when they move out, and then they won't have Pop Pops and Gigi to interfere. Discipline is important. Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm being very vulnerable. I was corrected this morning in worship. And there was a church member that I responded to incorrectly today. And I went right back to her and I said, listen, God's just corrected my heart. And I'm so sorry for the way I responded in that situation. What is that? That's God smacking me. He didn't do it. Nicole, oh, my gosh, here you are preaching about pruning stuff off and look at you, you big mess. He said, well, no better day like today than to deal with this problem. Let me help her. And he cut it off. I'm not reeling in condemnation. I'm not sitting in a sinful nature. What I'm saying is I'm human and I made a mistake. But that's not justifying what I did. What it is saying, God, I have a repentant heart. Please keep directing me. Please keep correcting me and don't stop pruning. Because out of that pruning comes growth of a fruit that will last. I'm not after a fruit that is a one and done, that you can use one season and you can't use the next. I want consistent fruit. I want every single time you come up to Pastor Nicole, you can count on me. See, God doesn't look at this pile after he prunes all this stuff off. He doesn't look at this and go, oh gosh, what they could have been. Oh my gosh, we've lost so much. He's like, who cares? Now they can grow. Now they can make much fruit. He looks at you through the eyes of abundance. He never looks at you through the eyes of scarcity and what you're not producing. He sees what you are producing and he says, but that's not my best for them. I care for them more than I care for the fruit that they produce. I care that your heart is right. I care that your actions are being motivated by what's in your heart that I've placed there. Do you see? And then that ability to remain with him is what allows that fruit to be produced. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, pruning is good. Now, this is not a vine. This is a tree, but we're going to use it for sake today, okay? The Bible says, remain in me as I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Now, we know that these cuttings off of this vine are not going to live. That's good. That's good because we don't want the bad things in our life to continue to live. We want those to die. But here's the problem. One of these I have. I prepared this tree before I came out here, but it's been a little stingy. It doesn't like to give up the roots. This is a branch. And we're going to say that this is a vine for sake, because I can't find one large enough in the vine sake that's going to bring us to the picture. If I remove this and throw it on the ground, is it going to live or die? This is you. Not the wrong things with you. This is you. You're a branch. David, you're a branch. Sharon, you're a branch. Mom, Randy, Bree, Nikki, Jamie, Jesse, Joe, Tammy, all these people make up our church. The more of us that are connected to the very source of life, the better our church is going to be. The better your lives are going to be. The better your families are going to be. Some of you don't have a problem at all in your life except not remaining in the vine. Did you hear me right there? That's a hard one to swallow. But I'm telling you that there are places in our life that we want parts of our life invested in him. But when we go to our jobs, we don't want him involved. We don't want to abide in the vine at our workplace. Because if we do, we think we're going to have to be walked on. No, that's not true. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you have to be walked on. It means you have to be nice when you say, don't walk on me. It's not that you can't have boundaries. It's not that you can't say what you really want to say. It's that you have to say it in gentleness and kindness. And you're not allowed to say it in madness and anger. You have to do it in love. And that's hard because you're like, they don't deserve it. You're right, they don't. But God's requiring it of you and I. When you're disconnected from this, your life source is disconnected. And this is what we do. On Sunday, oh, we're plugged right in. Come Monday, I'm not. Oh, wait, it's almost Wednesday. People will notice I haven't been drinking. They'll notice my leaves are starting to, I better get some more juice. That's not the way we remain in Him. Remain in me as I remain in you, like a branch connected to the vine. The longer you stay connected, the stronger your life and relationship with Christ is going to be. But if you keep doing this, how far do you think you're going to get? But this is the life that we think as Christians we're allowed to live. So on Sunday and Wednesday, we plug in and maybe an occasional Saturday prayer. But to give Him every day of our lives, to remain connected to the very life source that brings the fruit. Did you hear that? You can't make the fruit. You have a spirit that needs to be recreated in the natural realm. The Holy Spirit is the only one that can do that. And when you get here, and for time's sake, I'm going to give you the scripture. You're going to go home and read it. Okay, this is really good. And it's going to be found in Romans. It's Romans 11th chapter, 17 through 24. Those of you that are doing your homework, it's very important. Nah, we're going to read that. No, we can't let that go. Sorry. We're going to go back to that. I'm just going to speed up a little bit through the rest. Let's read this. Here's what it says. Some of these branches from Abraham's tree, some of the people of Israel, have been broken off. And you Gentiles who were branches from the wild olive tree have been grafted in. That is you and I, by the way, because you're not Jewish by descent. You don't have Jewish bloodline. So we're not the children of Israel. We are the Gentile people, and we have been grafted in. But thank God that He doesn't look at us any different. So now you also receive the blessing God has promised Abraham and his children, sharing in the rich nourishment from the root of God's special olive tree, meaning that's His people. But you must not brag about being grafted in to replace the branches that were broken off. You are just a branch. You are not the root. Well, you may say, those branches were broken off to make room for me. Yes, but remember, those branches were broken off because they didn't believe in Christ. And you are there because you do believe. So don't think more highly of yourself, but fear what could happen. Whew. For if God did not spare the original branches, He won't spare you either. Whew. Notice how God is both kind and severe. He is severe towards those who disobeyed, but kind to you if you continue to trust in His kindness. But if you stop trusting, you also will be cut off. And if the people of Israel turn from their unbelief, they will be grafted in again. For God has the power to graft them back in the tree. You, by nature, were a branch cut from a wild olive tree. So if God was willing to do something contrary to nature by grafting you into His cultivated tree, He will be far more eager to graft the original branches back into the tree where they belong. You, the Gentiles, are grafted in to the original olive tree that was here. Now, let me tell you a process about grafting, and then we're going to be finished for today. This grafting process, a lot of us just want to come to church, just like this. I'm back. But the grafting process means that where the tree was cut off and where it's grafted in, there's a source of life sap that comes up from the bottom of that root. And there's only one way to connect to that source of sap. If you just cut this thing off and stick it in a tree, it will not grow. But if you will graft into the source and stick this in and turn it where both life sources line up, my life with Christ's life. And you begin to believe in the Son of God, and you begin to live connected to this life source every single day. Some of us, minute by minute. Some of us, hour by hour. Some of us, day by day. But don't go further than a day, because I'm telling you, if you think you are, you're going to lose it. That's not the way it works. Look, line up with the will of God. Put the twist and line into the life sap that comes from only His source. Because when you remain in that source and you're tapped in to His way of life, now the growth of your fruit, the growth of love, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, love, peace, joy, gentleness, kindness, long-suffering, self-control, meekness, all those begin to grow, but not because you're growing them. But because you're connected by faith to Jesus Christ, who already went to Calvary and purchased everything you need to be able to love your neighbor as yourself, who has everything that you need to give you peace in the midst of a situation that honestly, peace doesn't deserve to be there because everything around you is shaking and falling apart. But in the midst of that storm, you have an internal peace and an internal knowing because the life source that you're connected to is not concerned. The life source that you're connected to is completely at peace. Because this is the man that spoke to the storm and calmed it and said, "Peace be still." Church, you and I have to be able to submit our lives to Him daily and say, "God, I cannot do this without You. You are the vine." It's time to start pursuing the vine and stay connected to Him. And lastly, but least, I read 1 John 2, 3 through 6, and I finish here today. I thought this was very pertinent for our closing. "And we can be sure that we will know Him if we obey His commandments. If someone claims that I know God, but does not obey His commandment, that person is a liar and is not living the truth. But to those who obey God's word, truly show how completely they love Him. That is how we know we are living in Him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did." Church, this is where we live, connected to Him every single day. And we submit ourselves to those hard places where He needs to trim and cut us back. If you would stand to your feet today. I felt like the Lord, I know we've been discovering who God is and what He is in our life, but I felt like today He was asking for a recommitment to some people that have become disconnected. That there were people that have been living thinking you're producing your own works. You're striving of your own fruition to try to make this fruit grow. You wake up in the morning and you're like, "I'm going to love better today. I'm going to be more patient today with my children." No, you're not. Because you can't. Everything that's within you is not enough. I'm just going to tell you. And if you think you can do it, you're not ready to surrender. God's looking for us to need Him, to not do our life without Him, to depend on His life source. You know, it's really crazy that if you look up the American vineyards and you look up the French vineyards, France had really sweet grapes, but the United States had grapes that were non-infectious. There was no disease in our grapes. So France said, "Hey, America, can you give us some of your shoots? Can you give us some branches of your non-disease vines? And we'll give you some of our vines for sweetness. And we'll make the perfect grape for wine." So they did it. When I read that story, I thought, isn't that amazing that the vine that we are connected to is not diseased? Oh, come on. But our vine, our branch, is so sick. It's human. It can get sick at the drop of the hat if we don't take care of it right. It can be disposed of early. But God's like, if you'll connect to me and my vine, my disease-free vine, you too can have life and more abundantly. You have lack in your life, but I own a cattle on 1,000 hills and I can provide everything you need. If you'll just connect to me and line up to the source of life that I provide. Church, it's all in pursuing the Word of God. It's all in pursuing and knowing what His will is. That's how we line our life up right with Him. When you line up with that Word and you begin to live your life in the obedience and the sheer obedience of not striving to be better, but Holy Spirit, help me do what I can't do for myself. Because I'm only human. And those things do come out of my mouth. And those thoughts do run through my mind. And those actions do try to propel me to do something on my own. But if you'll help me today, I'll surrender myself to you. That's true life. That's faith in Jesus to do the work for you that He already did at Calvary. Yet we're so busy trying to get there on our own so that we can say we did it. No, He did it. He did it. And because He lives, so do I. Lift up your hands this morning. I'm sure that each one of you in this moment today have a place where in the message you said, that's me. That's me, or that's my relationship that I need cut off, or I'm not yielding fruit here, but God, I want to. I'm just going to give you this moment right now just to say, give it up to God. Just begin to speak in your own words and say, God, this is who I am. I had that moment during worship today where God just turned that mirror on me and said, this is who you are. Let me be you. Let me take that for you and build this fruit in you bigger. Because I'm going to have to cut this off because it's not good. Father, we just give these places to you today. Father, we as your church, we as your people. God, we desire more fruit because it'll bring you more glory. Reveal it and unveil it to us right now, God, as we're sitting in this house. Father, for the Spirit has come to do what only the Spirit can do. Father, we yield ourselves to you. We're not fearful of your clippers, but we're asking you, search me, O God. Know me. Look around with your spotlight and find anything in me that is not pleasing to you. Cut it off. Cut it off. Thank you, Jesus. With every eye closed and every head bowed today, maybe you're here and you're not a part of Christ. You're not grafted in yet because you haven't believed in Jesus, the Son of God. If that's you, today's your day. God is a gentle God. He's not a tolerating God, but He's a gentle God. He's long-suffering. He's meek, but He's also stern when He needs to be to tell us to get things right. If He's pulling on your heart today, if He's tugging in that place, that's called conviction. That's the Holy Spirit drawing you to God, to believe in His Son. And if that's you here today, then I'm just going to ask that you would raise your hand and say, Pastor Nicole, I need to accept Jesus as my personal Savior. I'm not connected to that vine, and I want to be. I want to be a part of the family of God. If you're here and that's you, just simply raise up your hand. Just like this. I'm not here to embarrass you today. There's people in the back that are looking for your hands to go up, and they're going to simply come and stand by you. And we're all going to say a prayer together. Is there anybody that would be bold enough today to say, that's me, Pastor Nicole. That's me. I want to give my life to Christ. Anybody? All right. Well, what I'm going to say is there's a prayer team in the back of the church, and there's going to be a prayer team at the front. If you would, prayer team, come down to the front today. And you're going to notice them by their orange badges. And they're here to pray over any requests you have today that you would like to have hands laid upon you or anointed with oil. These are the mature in faith that we've called on. Why? Because we know that their faith believes and they're going to join their faith with you. And miracles happen in this house. And if that's you, I want you to come down front. But if you gave your life to Christ today, I want you to tell one of these prayer team members at the front or the back, orange lanyards right around their neck. Oh, we have a salvation. Well, hello, my dear. How are you, sir? Aiden, my name is Pastor Nicole. How are you? You want to accept Jesus as your personal Savior? Oh, that's all. Oh, here comes some more. Look at that. Look at that. Good job. Good job. Anyone else? Anyone else that would be bold enough to say, I want Jesus? You've never done this before. Well, that's beautiful. Because I did it too. I was about 5 years old when I gave my life to Jesus. You're six. Well, that's beautiful. You know, God wants to do great things through you. Amen. Nice to meet you, my friend. You're welcome. You're welcome. Is this your wife? Nice to meet you. You a born again believer? 2004. Let's pray. Say, dear Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sins. I need you. I can't do this on my own. I believe in Jesus. I believe he died and rose again for me. Now, devil, get out. I ain't serving you no more. Lord, lead my life in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This is my husband, Randy. Aiden, and what's your first name?
Robert.
This is my husband, Randy. Welcome to the family, my friend. It's beautiful. What a good service where God saves people. Amen? Hallelujah, church. All right, we're going to pray and dismiss today. Oh, prayer. Gotcha. All right, so Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. We thank you, God, for a day that, God, we got to exalt your name and learn in the church. Father, I thank you, Lord, that your work is not finished. It's just began. Father, that the word would take seed in our hearts and bring forth an ultimate true change. Father, we want true fruit in our lives, not fake, not false in front of people, but with people, Father, that we would be fruitful at all times. In Jesus' name, and lift you up. Now, God, be with our families as they go home, as they go out and about this week, and as always, bring someone into each and every one of our paths, God, that we could share Christ with and invite to church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Church, we love you. We will see you on Wednesday, where Randy is starting a series on the sins of the church. Hallelujah. Amen. In Revelation. See you then.